Father, we thank you for the privilege to learn, to grow, to be equipped. Thank you for revelation knowledge that is gifted everybody in this class, the eyes of our understanding enlightened. The word comes with clarity. Your people are built up, equipped, edified, and Jesus is glorified. So we rejoice that by the end of this class, we'll be the better for you. Thank you for these mighty men and women of God that you are equipping, building, and strategically positioning to make an influence on this world like never before. We give you praise for answered prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Christ and what Christ can do through you. Pastor Shaw, can you hear me? It looks like my network is freezing, right?
Yeah, it froze for a little bit, yes. It just came back on now. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me try. If it freezes again, I may have to change the location where I'm seated.
Okay.
All right. So, when things, we saw that the building, you know, Jesus is building his house. We saw that Jesus is building his house. Is it better?
It came back on, but it froze again. I'm wondering, maybe you might need to change your location.
Okay, just a minute. Let me try something else.
Yes, Baba.
Okay. Just if it freezes again, just let me know. I'll move.
Yes, Baba.
All right. So we began to look at the house last week, and we saw that Jesus' house is we. We are the ones that he calls his temple. We are his dwelling place. We are the house of his spirit. And we saw that Brother Peter reiterated this also like Brother Paul. You also as lively stones have built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we said this house is a spiritual house and it is not purchased with money. And we said when we gather, this is his house and not where we gather. Two or three makes up this house as a gathering. And then Brother Paul began to talk about the fact that we're laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. And then we say this is the work of ministry. Gifts are highlighted. We're not talking about erecting physical structures, we're talking about spiritual edifices, which is done by preaching, teaching, and the ministry of the Spirit. So we began to say that 1,000 years, you know, after the ascension of Jesus, the church did not have properties and buildings. And we said erecting of structures were never mentioned, but rather building of believers, which is the emphasis of the New Testament. And we began to look at a few things. Are we building people or are we building cathedrals? Are we, you know, building saints? Are we building gifts of the Spirit? What are we building? We have to re-examine what we are building again. And then we said, let us value men above buildings. Let us build men. All right. Today we're going to be looking at, you know, week 18. And that is how not to treat the youths. How not to treat the youths. How not to treat the youths. We want to look at the youths in the scheme of God's plan in these end times. Youths are not as restless and excitement focused as we think. It is an appetite we have created and are feeding. Youths are not as restless and excitement focused as we think. It is an appetite we have created and also feeding. The mainline denominations back then suffered for not training the youth for ministry. A lot of those big churches, a lot of those cathedrals, mega ministries, they suffered because they ignored their youths. They did not invest into young people. They didn't train their youths for ministry. And it was quite a big disadvantage to a lot of big churches all over the nations of the earth. Paul stated in unequivocal terms the focus of ministry gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Take note of for the work of ministry. This is the true proof of growth. Thus, the youth must be engrafted into this plan. The true proof of growth is the work of ministry, and the youth must be engrafted into this plan. David was a young shepherd boy who became king over a nation. He was a young shepherd boy who became king over a nation. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11 to 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11 to 13. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Samuel was a prophet from his teenage years, the same with many others. Of a man Pastor Sean, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Oh, well, we can't hear you anymore if you're speaking. He's muted. Oh, Papa is just muted. Let's give him a few minutes.
Pastor Sheryl, can you hear me?
Yes, you're back, Papa.
All right, is it sounding better? I'm just trying to find a smooth area.
Yes, it sounds good.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Another example of a teenager is Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Today, both probably would have been secondary school students in the Nigerian context, or high school children. Same with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus too got into ministry as a teenager. We've seen Jeremiah, we've seen David. Let's look at Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 42, 46, and 47. Luke chapter 2, verse 42, 46, and 47. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. At age 12, he was not occupied by his local church with concerts. Jesus was not engaged with festivals, dance, or talk shows. Rather, he was into deep and intense Bible study. He was into deep and intense Bible study. This is at the age of 12.
But we can't hear you anymore.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Baba, we can hear you.
I'm using two networks at once. I'm using my phone, MTN. I'm using the Wi-Fi in my house from the satellite. I'm using everything and it's still freezing.
Oh my goodness.
Well, we keep pushing. All right. You can hear me, right?
Yes, Baba, by his grace.
At the age of 12, by his grace, at the age of 12, Jesus was not watching Teletubbies and all kinds of cartoon stuff. He was sitting down in the temple asking questions, doctrinal questions, at the age of 12. That's our savior. That's our model for life, our model for ministry. You know, he wasn't involved in dance or talk shows. Another example was Timothy. Timothy. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, Timothy then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, verse 3. Him will Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. Timothy was a teenager known for ministry effectiveness in his local church. The youth are God's men, not some hyperactive blood looking for expression in the flesh. The youth are God's men. Paul's instruction to Timothy calls for reflection. Look at what Paul will tell Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul was clear. Be an example to all. Be an example to all. To all believers, and not just the young. Give yourself to doctrine and not to fun places. The emphasis was on supernatural gifts. And not talents. Supernatural gifts and not talents. The Orthodox Church of old gave little focus to giving spiritual training to the young. Little focus, Orthodox churches. They allowed many waste their youthfulness till the revivalists came and made adequate use of the youth by engaging them in prayer meetings, evangelism, and Bible study. It was first termed exuberance till many grew into movements and I oversee many of the most influential ministries around the world today. The charismatic churches are making similar errors. Whilst not ignoring the youth totally, we are making a worse error by feeding the youth with fun, excitement, romance, talk shows, concerts, success motivations, etc. There are things they can and will get with far better expertise outside the church. And I'm talking about the youth. They will get all of that outside the church. They will get excitement, shows, concerts, success, and all of that. I was brought up where I learned fasting and prayer. I've told my story many times. I learned personal holiness, evangelism, and ministry. I did not need a voice to be called into ministry. All our weekly activities, even as a secondary school student, was filled with either Bible study, ministers' meetings, prayer meetings, and group meetings. I started pastoring secondary school fellowship from Form 3. I started pastoring. I was pastoring students from Form 3, 4, 5, till I graduated and went to College of Advanced Studies and from there to the university. I was pastoring people. So I've been pastoring for many years. But it started for me as a young boy, as a teenager, as a young boy in secondary school Form 3. No room for razzmatazz. They took us on retreats, prayer, fasting, spiritual exercises. So it was very easy for me to obey God. So we must keep reminding the youth on these basics. The very core of ministry, we must keep reminding them. Peradventure, they seek to follow the multitudes in our day. It's a pity we have done little in this regard. We have kept the youth with non-spiritual things. And that's why in Power City, we now emphasize Sunday school is for everybody. Same thing we learn in the main church. Same thing the children are learning. Everybody's learning. Everybody's a minister. We're training even children to do ministry. We're leaving those stone unturned because that's the way it has always worked. You know? And if we don't get the youth engaged, very soon they'll find out they can get same elsewhere and better. And that's why the Pentecostal Charismatic Churches needs to reform. The youth is the training ground for the move of God. The youth is the training ground for the move of God. Campus fellowships, you know. But now those fellowships are the breeding grounds for success motivators and romance experts, where they keep talking about single, mingle, how to locate Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. These same places brought in hundreds and thousands of missionaries. These same fellowships brought in apostles. Today, and you know, back then, the revival had nothing to do with materialism, but spiritual rejuvenation. Today, many oldies are not even ashamed to go there and inspire the younger generation with some worldly exploits. Where are our signs? If we are to have more Davids, Timothys, we must change our approach. Let us get back the old culture. Times can change, but God will not. And neither will his word, nor the needs of men or the old. Let us get back to the trenches. Ministers of God, men and women of God, let's not give the younger generation less of what we receive. I have told people in church, I can never train you less than I was trained. We must expose our young people to full-blooded, rigorous spiritual discipline. We must expose them to fasting, prayer, exercising the gifts of the Spirit. We must expose them to deep and intense Bible study. Our young people, the kind of things that brought the move of God in the 70s and 80s. The move of God that swept across Europe, Africa, and the US. It came from, you know, young people. Because if we continue in this inglorious path for populism, its limits are almost here. And the Pentecostal churches shall be exactly what we ran away from. So let's get young people back to spiritual things, whether in our campuses, in our ministries, or wherever we find them. Let's put teams of young people together and start training and influencing them for righteousness. Let's get them back to spiritual things. Let's expose them to the fire of ministry. Let's expose them to service. Let's expose our young people to intense Bible study, engaging in proper exegesis, prayer, passion, outreaches, missions, evangelism, and raising of disciples. And then we will see that these young people, they have a whole lifetime to live. They will live their whole lifetime impacting the world with the gospel. The more we do, the more we guarantee what God is doing in our time to outlive us for generations yet unborn. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for every student of this academy tonight. Thank you for the privilege to learn, to be admonished. Thank you for the privilege to bring valuable lessons to our thoughts, to keep our eyes on focus, so we continue to serve your purpose and serve your will, continue to run with the mandate that you've given to us, to make disciples of all people in every nation, in every country, in every continent, raising an army for God, a man and woman that will do the work of ministry effectively. Thank you, Lord. Bojaka lady bondele de bora katononga lady boza kanta liga lia boro koskiri alabaha. Thank you, Lord, for every minister of the gospel, every man and woman of God in this platform. I pray that our eyes and our hearts are stirred up, that our passion is burning very hot to see young people fired up to serve your purpose, to serve in the ministry, to do the will of God, and to run with God's mandate. I pray tonight that grace abounds. Every minister of the gospel here, your sufficiency is of God. You are kept, you are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. I decree that you are fired up to do ministry and to continue to do ministry until we see Jesus. It is well with you. You are kept, you are preserved and sustained. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let me give you the assignment. Assignment for the week. Number one, draw a comparison between what obtained for the youth in churches. Draw a comparison between what obtained for the youth in churches. A great while back, and what the youth ought to be trained, taught, as explained in this teaching. Draw a comparison between what obtained for the youth in churches a great while back, and what the youth of today ought to be treated, taught, trained, as explained in this teaching. I read for the last time. Draw a comparison between what obtained for the youth in churches a great while back, and what the youth ought to be treated, taught, trained, as explained in this teaching. Question two. Would you say that the youth cannot imbibe the culture of training? Will you say that the youth cannot imbibe the culture of training? If they can imbibe training, cite young people with Bible references who debunk this viewpoint as seen in this teaching. I repeat question two. Will you say that the youth cannot imbibe the culture of training? If they can imbibe training, cite young people with Bible references who debunked this viewpoint as seen in this teaching. For the last time, will you say that the youth cannot imbibe the culture of training? If they can imbibe training, cite young people with Bible references who debunked this viewpoint as seen in this teaching. Glory to God. All right, Pastor Sean, that's it from me. If there are questions, I'm open to answer those questions now.